Some of you had, we had different opinions of it and stuff, and sort of a little bit like a lawyer, you know, they take their client, they go before the judge, and they appeal for what they've done, you know, and maybe you get caught speeding or something like that, and they go before the judge and, you know, ask for an appeal, you know, can you be lenient on my client here, you know, they may have been speeding, but they had a lot on their mind this week, and there was things that was going on, and they just weren't thinking about the speed limit, and he just appeals to the judge for that, you know, something like that there, you know, they appeal. In the same way with children, you know, can they come to you and appeal? Well, a pattern for appeal, I read it to you last week, I'm going to again today here before we continue. You begin to obey immediately and not after the appeal. They should be obeying beforehand. You must be prepared to obey either way. Whatever, if it's yes or if it's no, you know, they need to learn to appeal. You know, if there's an appeal, they need to learn to obey no matter what. You must appeal in a respectful way. Now, you can tell if they have a rebellious attitude. You can tell by their attitude, period. You know, if the appeal is going to be, you know, in the right respectful manner to you, you know. And it has to be, you know, in a respectful manner is what it has to be. So, and you must accept the results of the appeal with the generous spirit. So, you know, they have to have the right, like I say, the right attitude, the right spirit, the right everything. And you know your children. You know that you know what they're like. You know what their spirit's like. Has anybody ever had a child, even you older people, and you younger ones right now, you know what you're going through. Did you ever have a child that just was one of those children that obeyed immediately? Didn't do nothing wrong, no challenge, no nothing. Why are you laughing, Corb?
My parents had one of those.
You know, did anybody ever have a child like that? Have you had a child like that? You have. What do you think was different about that child? Oh, yeah?
But then her sister came along, and it was like one headbutting after another. It was completely opposite. But the older one was always obedient, no matter what I told her to do, she was going to do it. But like I said, I don't know that it was good that she was like that. I think it was... I think she didn't think of... She just thought...
Mm-hmm. Well, you think of that parable from one of the Gospels about the father telling his child to go do something. Yes, sir. He doesn't. The other one says, well, I don't want to do anything. Or about the heart.
Right.
And you can say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And if you're not your heart in it, it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any a child like that? Okay, well, let's do a little illustration here of an appeal. Mother says it's time to go to bed. The child heads for bed, but while he's en route, he says, is it okay if I finish coloring this picture first? What would you do? Kind of like an appeal, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've heard that lots. Now, what would you do? Okay, there's one. Go ahead, Ron.
If the child is normally is fairly obedient, probably ask, well, how long is that going to take? Mm-hmm. And then depending upon his answer, it's then the letter he gets to appeal.
I think it depends on the child. We have certain children that are just not obedient. And for them, it would instantly be, no, you're going to bed.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, with what Nate was saying, you have more than one child, being favorites, letting one, because he does good all the time, have his way while the other one can't.
And that's why I'm wondering about consistency then, too, you know, in that whole situation.
But in those situations, because I've thought about that, because we do that to a degree, but you use that as an example on why they get to do what they get to do and the others don't. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily picking favorites, you're rewarding obedience.
You're rewarding good behavior, that's right.
Okay, let's put another scenario into this. They were up late the night before. Now what would you say? Would you still think about it? Would you still have this permission of appeal? What would you think? What do you think?
I think when you know that it's just when bedtime is kind of a sacred thing. I can wait for bedtime. And when they try to prolong it more and more and more,
which is every night.
It really. It bothers me because that's the time that Ben and I can talk, you know, and we can be together. And so I feel like maybe in another circumstance, not bedtime related, you know, maybe, but bedtime is one of those things that it's just time for their own good.
Anybody else want to add to that? Okay, well, whether it's, you know, the mother may say, okay, you can finish with this picture, or they can say, no, you were up late last night, it's time to go to bed. They need to obey no matter what the question is, without challenge, without delay, without excuse. So that, you know, they need to learn to obey, you know. That's you know, the appeal process of it. They just need to obey no matter what, you know. The benefits of the appeal are of the procedure, it's obvious. The child has some kind of a recourse, you know. A lot of times, if it's a child with a calm spirit, you know, a lot of times you'll see them. Just go to bed, no questions asked. But a child that has that, their different kind of spirit, different kind of attitude, you know, they're going to fight against you. You've experienced it. You know what I'm talking about, you know, and you know. Whatever, there's no arbitrary in it. He has to learn to submit to authority. You need to teach him to submit to authority. You are the authority. You're the parent. You're the one, and you have the right and you have the obligation to rethink, you know, your options on this. What you want to do, you know. Like I say, if you say yes, okay. If you say no, okay. Obedience is the key in this whole appeal process. They need to be obedient, not in a blatant rebellion. If it's a blatant rebellion, you know. The word no means no. Go ahead.
We need to teach them that their rebellion or their wanting to negotiate or whatever it is an act of disobedience. I mean, they might not see that as being disobedient. If they say, can I stay up and finish coloring the thing? They need to realize that when you've given them instruction, that they need to follow it, and if they don't, and it's disobedient, so their objection to you to going to bed and wanting to color is being disobedient. We need to teach them those things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Anybody else? Okay, the importance of example in this thing, you know, the whole thing. This culture that we live in today, there's no examples for them to follow, especially godly examples, you know. Mother don't submit to dad. Dad don't submit to mother, you know. The dad don't submit to his boss, you know, things like that there. These children, can you imagine these children today? And why they wonder why they turn out the way they do. Because they're not being brought up with the godly aspects of this whole situation in this. And they need to have somebody to look up to. They need to have someone, you know. How dad submits to mom and mom submits to dad, you know. Dad submits to God. Mom submits to God, you know. They take the word of God and they show them, just like here, you know, Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 and 3. Oh, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, they have that, but this society today doesn't have that. We had all this liberation movements. It's happened in our lifetime, all this liberation movements, you know, that have happened and take place. And there's nobody that really wants to take charge of anything. There's nobody that really wants to do anything. There was a guy just recently that I know about, that a story about him. He was a Filipino, and he was on the computer, and he was a married man. He was on the computer, but he had thousands and thousands of books and things that he read on how to kill somebody, how to shoot them, how to get away with it, how to get away and try to get out of it without even, you know, that the law knows anything about it or anything like that there. And this guy, he just wanted to shoot somebody. And then he even had one in there where it shows how he even did it. This guy is showing him how to shoot through the window of a car, you know, and how to shoot somebody. And he did it. Now, what do you think? How was that child brought up? You know, that he came to this conclusion of life. He got away with it for a little bit, but guess what? He got caught. He did some dumb things, which he didn't think he did, you know. They said they had tire tracks at the scene. So what's he do? He goes to the next town. He gets new tires put on his car. But he already had new tires on his car, you know. Why do that? And then he kept the tires, and they found them. You know, things like that. The glass was blown out of his car. The next day, he had gone to another town, and they traced him back to this. And the guy and his wife, he just wanted the window changed, you know, in his car. He said somebody burglarized his car and smashed the window out. This is this movement today. This is this liberation movement that everybody wanted, you know. Liberate, you know, liberate. Everybody can liberate. Mom, we can have kids, but somebody else can raise them. We'll just go to work, you know. Money's the thing. Money, money, money. We got to spend, buy this, buy that, buy this, buy that, buy this, buy that. And mom has to work. The kids, somebody else raises them, and then they wonder why they turn off what they do. Nothing biblical, you know, nothing biblical whatsoever about it. But, you know, you have this, you know. And you have to provide this example for them. They have to see mom and dad submit, you know. Yes, dad comes home from work. She had a rough day. Mother was there with the children. She had a rough day. She says to dad, "Dad, you know, can you take out the garbage?" And he just blows up in front of the children. "I had a rough day. I don't have to do this kind of thing." Now, what do you think you're putting into that child? Are you showing them any kind of submission by doing things like that? You're not. And then mother the same way, you know, she can blow up to and he asked her, you know, about something, and she can blow up to him. The submission part, they have to have somebody to see it. They got to learn. You're teaching them that, but you also got to set by example. Is it practically everything? The Christian life and everything is set by example. You know, you can witness all you want to, and it seems like sometimes you just don't get no place. But if you set by an example, and all of a sudden these people are taking notice to you that you're living. Hey, why isn't he going out? Why isn't he going out with us at night, every night, you know, stopping at the bar and having a beer? Well, don't believe it. That's why. You can tell him. You know? Why doesn't he speak the way we do? He don't cuss and carry on, you know. You got to set by an example. Everything is set by an example. This is something that's set by an example. Submission is set by an example. And, you know, and we have to do it. As parents, we have to do it. That's our job, you know. That's our job with authority, you know. We need to let the kids know that, you know, this is our authority. We live by this, okay? Teach your children that, you know. That's our authority. The Bible is our authority. This is what we go by, you know. There, and there's lots of verses in there. We're going to hit some of them a little later on. But, you know, in Proverbs, Ephesians here talks to it about it. Hebrews talks to us about it. You know, there's different things in there. We need to set by an example. And it's very important to be an example to your children, you know, in the situation of bringing them up, so that they can have submission to authority. As when they grow up, you know, and they get out here in the job force and stuff, they can submit to their boss. Yeah, that, gentlemen, how many times does it come up, you know, at your job where there's times where you say, I don't want to do it. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. But what do? You submit and you do it. You know, sometimes it's neat to prove to them, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, you're submitting. You're doing, you know, you're doing the job. So, you know, we need to learn to submit. And it has to be the biblical submission, you know. Learning to submit to authority presents a beautiful opportunities in shepherding the child's relationship, you know. The communication part of it, you know. And the child's relationship to God is what we need to get them to learn, you know, that relationship to God. And we have to have that relationship with God so that we can teach them that relationship with God. You know, it has to be that they need to learn that it's God's directive that we go by, that we live by, that we teach. That's what we're trying to teach them. It's His word. It's His word. It's the call to submit to mom and dad is a call to trust God rather than trusting yourself. You know, their self. They got to get rid of that self. Self tells them not to submit. Self says, do what you want, when you want, and how you want. That's just what self does, you know. But God's word teaches them different, you know. It's an opportunity to teach them about the rebellion of their hearts. The heart is desperately wicked, you know, and we got to teach them that. It is wicked. The heart's wicked, and we need to, you know, teach them. And that's what we're talking about, shepherding a child's heart, you know, teaching them about these different kind of things. You know, they got to realize that God, they're not only obeying you, but they're obeying God whenever you teach them. You know, you're teaching them out of God's word. They got to obey God. We have to obey God. Hebrews talks a lot about us obeying God. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, and what He does to us if we don't obey. And it applies to the children too. You know, the same thing. Because we're the ones. You know, we're the ones that we need to teach. So we need godly examples. You know, we need people that are godly. Hey, look at your president. What does a man want to do? We had a constitution that was set up that we are to follow, we are to go by. And what he wants to do, what he is trying to do, and you watch it in years to come, you won't have a constitution. If you don't get the right man in there, he started this, and this constitution, he wants to throw this constitution out. If Hillary Clinton gets in there, you can forget it. You can forget it. It's done for. She, one of her first agendas, whether you want to know, believe it or not, is your guns. Your right to own a gun. She said it. And people don't want to believe it. They don't want to listen. Oh, it's just, I'm a Democrat and I'm voting for it. Or I'm a Republican and I'm voting for it. You know. Get that out of your head. Get the right person in there. Republican, Democrat, Independent, whoever it might be. You can't have somebody in there to take the Second Amendment, something that we are to live by, that the forefathers set up for us. They tried to do the best that they possibly could, you know, for us. We have a constitution. We have to live by, you know, what God's word says about it. You know, teaching our children, bringing them up into submission and authority. We need to do that. But we can't take, you know, and just throw it aside, get rid of it, and try to teach these children. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You see what happens. You see out here in life, these children that are out here, you know, do not have God in their life whatsoever. Never even heard of God. Don't even know what God is or anything. Don't even realize that He gave them the breath of life. He's the one that put them here. He's the one that put you and I here. He gave you, myself, all of us, a soul. It's a different soul. You know. It's a soul. And he put that breath of life into us. If you can't believe that, you're doomed. You know, you can't believe it. God's the one that created you. We gotta get that into our children, heads, you know, that as we teach them these things. Questions or comments on that? Hey, it's the power of the gospel is the thing that's gonna teach them. You've got to get this, the gospel into them. Isn't that what teaches you? It's the gospel. It's God's name. It's the gospel. Nathan said that since Callie got saved, little Callie, 4 years old, he said he can see a difference in her with her attitudes and stuff. Now, he had nothing to do with it. But, you know, they learn God's word at home, here at church, in Sunday school. They're back there learning now, you know, and stuff like that. And it's the gospel that changes them. It's the gospel that changes you and I. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Where would you be today if you didn't have the gospel? Where would you be? What would you be doing today? You wouldn't be sitting in here in a church, listening to some dumb Penn Valley kid like the pastor said, you know. And he's right. You know, there's more people qualified to teach than me, but, you know. But anyhow, you know, it's just, you know, you wouldn't be doing that. You wouldn't be here, you know. But was that gospel when you heard it, you know. You ones that was with me in Calvary Bible Church, you knew what it was like when we had a Sunday school class up there. I mean, you guys, you blew my mind because I never was around somebody that was on fire like that. You know what I'm talking about? You know exactly what was going on there. And you were all on fire for the Lord. You know, you wanted to learn. That was the desire that you had. And that's what we got to get into our children. Get back to the desire of God's word. You know, and that they can learn. And they can learn under authority. Like I say, it's that gospel. Once we get them to learn the biblical obedience, that changes their mind. And that they can obey. I know you younger ones right now, what's going through your head, is it ever going to happen? You know, is it ever going to change? Yes. As we talked about, be consistent, keep after it, keep doing what you're going to do. But once we get in, it won't be too long here. But I don't know if it'll be today or next week, but we're going to get into discipline. Okay? We're going to talk about discipline for a little bit. And, you know, discipline, you know, it's part of this, teaching them to be under authority, you know. By training him to do whatever he ought, regardless of how he feels, prepares him to be a person who lives by principle rather than mood or impulse. Have you ever been around somebody that says, "Don't even talk to me, I'm in a bad mood today"? You know, your children can be the same way. You know, they can be in a mood. You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, then they come up with these different aspects, you know, of how they're going to handle things. But that's where you need to put the foot down and say, "I'm your authority." You know, you better get rid of the mood. And we'll talk about that later on with the discipline. And, you know, what he does do when this is happening, they're learning that they can't trust themselves. They can't trust themselves. They don't know what's right from wrong, you see. And they need to learn what's right from wrong, you know. He needs to learn that his behavior has moral implications and different outcomes of it because of what he's doing or what they're doing, you know, he or she. So they need to learn these things, you know. And the implications will come with the discipline stuff. Okay. So we have that, the benefits of learning under authority and things like that there, you know. It's the power of God. It's God's word. It's that word that we need to get into them, you know, to get them back to it. Okay. Save time and do it right. Do it right the first time. Do it right when they're younger. A contractor was, he didn't have a whole lot of work in the wintertime. And so this job came up that he had to take and put a basement underneath a house that was already built. So what's he do? He has to, he spends most of the winter just digging out, pouring concrete, laying blocks, and doing the thing, you know, of putting this foundation under a house that's already built. Now, the best thing on this whole situation was to have the foundation done right the first time before you built the house. And then you wouldn't have to go through all that kind of work. So it's the same thing with teaching children, you know, the submission to authority. It's that foundation. It's that starting point. That starting point that you have to go through, you know. When do you do it? When do you start that? You just had a baby. That nice, beautiful little boy, you know, and he just cries and cries and he just tears mom and dad's heart out. Now how can you be teaching them right of ways like that? No, it is right. But they see, they even from that time, they know how to work on you. If you give in, they know it. And so you've got to work on them from that time until whenever the time is that you need to stop doing it, you know. Which is way later on in life. But, you know, you have to do it right the first time. Children have to, it's young to do it. It's when they're young, I mean, it's time to do it. It's time to do it. Do it right the first time and get it started, you know, right away. You know, they need to learn to do it without challenge, without excuse, without delay. They need to learn to do it. Just like that there. When it's bedtime, everything's fine, you're fed, your diaper's changed, go to bed. And many of you had children. I mean, we even had it, you know, where children cry and cry and cry, you know. But it came to the point where we understood that cry her out because we're not picking you up, we're not rocking you, we're not doing it. You know, after that, they learned that. You didn't have that anymore. But it's getting through that point. Yes, is that hard on mom and dad? Sure. Definitely, you know, you want to, you feel the responsibility. I've got to take care of that child. I brought it into the world here. I've got to take care of it. But there's times where you just got to let them cry it out. Do any of you have problems at the ages, and some of them are past that now, but I bet that maybe you can still have it yet. It seems like when they get 3, 4, 5 in that vicinity, when it comes time to eat, do you have problems? I mean, my grandkids have been with me this past week, and they're coming next week again too. But it surprises me now. I mean, there was the older one, you know, you had to fight with him to eat. the two other ones would gulp her down, you know, and that was it. But now they're at the point where they're doing the same thing. You have to fight with them. I mean, you know, should you do that? Little Callie, she will be the last one at the table hours after everybody else is done, and she's still sitting there, and it comes into the next lesson here I was going to bring up, but I'm bringing it up now, you know, that she will not eat until mother or dad takes her to a different room and talks to her, and then brings her back out. She will eat it down, and then she comes around to everybody and shows her a plate. Look, I ate. Yeah. After all these hours, you finally ate. You know? And the same way with the other one. Do you have problems like that, anybody? You know? Do you? There's the key to it. You know, that's the key to it. You know, that's what you want. That's what you want to try to do. No snacks, no nothing. Well, I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but my mother, I mean, she was a cook. She cooked. There was five of us in the family. Well, she cooked for 10 all the time. And, buddy, what she put on your plate, you had to clean her up, and I mean to tell you. Sometimes you think you never get it done. She'd pack she would always pack my lunch when I'd go to work. I told her, let me pack my own lunch. But she wouldn't do it. She'd have to pack my lunch. I'm telling you, when I would open that lunch, it would just jump right out at me. And then if I didn't eat it all, what's the matter with you? You said you didn't eat it. I said, Mother, how do you expect? I'm not an elephant. I can't eat it all. Yeah. It's just one of them things where you get into, you know, that you know, and some parents, I mean, all parents are different, you know, when it comes to the eating process and all them kind of things. But that was the key right there, you know, I feel, you know. No snacks, no nothing. You know? Don't ask, you know. Even if the other kids have, don't ask. You know, you're not having nothing until the next meal. That's the way it is. You know, whether you think it's bad or wrong or something, you know, it's not. You know, they need to learn, but it's just one of that learning process, learning you're the authority, you know what's best for them, except for my mother, the way she tried to feed you, anyhow, but it's good for you, you know, and it's good, you know, so you know, it, submission is something that you need to just to teach them. You don't waste the time to try to sugarcoat submission, to make it palatable. Obeying is when you see the sense it is not submission. It's just an agreement. You know, you've got to watch yourself on that. You know, it's not an agreement. You know, they got to learn to be submissive. And submission is necessary means of doing what you do not wish to do. You don't like to do it, you know, you're not submitted. You know, you are submitting sometimes when you do it, because, you know, you have to do that. And Bible submission, you know, is something that we need to teach the children. Okay. Questions or comments on any of that? We're going to get started here with something different. All right. Now, the guy that I'm taking these lessons from, he said that he had seen in his children when he was bringing them up, there was different patterns, you know, in the behavior of his children. One time he would see them as they're obeying without challenge, they're obeying without delay, they're obeying, you know, they're doing the things that they were supposed to do, they were obeying, you know, they were receiving the direction that they were to receive, and then they were responding to the direction. But then all of a sudden he said he would see some different changes there, you know, the behavior kind of got worse. What do you think was happening? What do you think was going on there in his family? Mm-hmm. what was happening in this family, they were becoming lax. And you have to be careful with that. You can't become lax in your discipline. You can't become lax in there with the obedience. You can't become lax with the submission that you're trying to teach them. You know, you can become lax in it, and then this is what happens. This is what takes place. But if you do the same thing all the time, keep after it, be consistent about it, you won't have that situation. You know, you won't have that situation. We had before. I wish I had something I could draw up before. Yeah, I needed it. I needed to do this. I should have did this today. I wasn't even thinking about it till now. There was a thing that we were talking about, a circle of blessing that God had for them. He took it from Ephesians chapter 6. It was, children, obey your parents. You know, you had to be obedient. Honor thy father and thy mother. That was at the bottom. But then, and then that it may be long, you know, that they would have a long life here in this earth. And if they got out of that there, out of that blessing, you know, you had to bring them back into it. But you have now this one that's a danger, you know, and they need to be rescued from this danger. They disobey and they dishonor, you know, then discipline and correction comes involved into it, okay? And so that's what has to happen, you know. They need to be rescued from this danger. They need to be rescued, you know, from this being disobedient, from this dishonor, you know. And what happens? It's this discipline that has to happen and take place. As soon as that child steps out of the circle of safety, then he needs to be rescinded back from this danger of this stubbornness, you know, and the independence from your authority. You know, they need to have your authority. Your authority represents God's authority. And remember, you're God's agent, and you're the one that has to take care of this. You know, you can't just let it up to God to do it. You know, you've got to do it. You're the rescue squad, if you want to say. You know, you're the ones. You know, you're coming in there. You're going to rescue them. And it's mom and dad who have to be armed with these God-given methods that God has in here for us, you know. And he has some different things, you know, that we need to learn, you know. We need to have here. Let me give you some verses. They're all in Proverbs, but you've heard them before, but I'm going to read them again to you. Proverbs 13:24. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth a rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Proverbs 19:18. "Chasten thou son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." There you go. That's just what we were talking about. Don't let that crying take over your life. You know. And here he says, you know, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." You know, so don't let that crying take over. Proverbs 22:15. "Foolishness," and this in here was a good one, "foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." How true that is. How true that is. You know, that rod drives it from him. You know, and that's the whole idea of it. Proverbs 23:13. "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die." So, you know, he's not going to die just because you give him a little licking, you know, on that padding that God provided for them. You know. Proverbs 29:15. "The rod of reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." So, what's the Bible telling you there? You have to use the rod. That's what we're going to get into. That's what we're going to talk about. You know, the rod doesn't hurt anybody. The rod doesn't hurt. And the first thing here that we're going to be talking about is, when do you spank? You know, when is spanking? I'll tell you this little story, and then we're going to quit because it's time. But we're going to get into this next week. I had this here when I was in school as a teenager. You know, that's when teachers were allowed to have a stick. That's when teachers was allowed to use the stick on you. Did I get it? Oh my, yeah. Oh yeah. But there was one teacher in school, you know. I don't mind. I mean, I didn't mind the liquor. I had no problem with it because maybe I got it all the time. It was no problem. Now, them paddles that they had in school, you know, as far as I care, they were nothing. Them little birch switches that my dad would take off the trees. Whoop! Them babies there, I'm telling you, they got your attention and right quick, you know. But them paddles they had in school. Well, we had these two girls, you know, that was acting up, and they always acted up in school. You know, we were teenagers. We were probably in eighth, ninth grade, somewhere in that vicinity, and we had this one teacher. And I tell you what, these two girls, don't get me wrong, they deserved what they got, but he had no business hitting them as hard as he did. That still sticks in my mind today. I wished it, but I knew better, but I wished I'd have got out of that seat, got up, grabbed a hold of him, and started choking him, pounding him in the face or whatever, and told him, you know, don't hit them girls that hard. They're girls. I wouldn't have minded hitting the boys that hard, but I didn't want him, I just didn't like that hitting them girls that hard, because, I mean, they got up, they were crying, but, buddy, they had to rub that there padding that they had, you know, from him doing that, and he only hit them two or three times. That's too much. That was way out of line. You knew he was mad. You knew he was angry. And that's some of the things that we're going to be talking about. That's why I'm telling you this. He was angry and he shouldn't have did it. Now, this guy, years before this, I talked to some other guys about this here that was in his class. And they literally got up and put him up against the chalkboard. And it scared him to death for a long time. He didn't report them. He didn't do nothing, you know. But that scared him. And he should have been scared, because that wasn't right. Now, if I'd have got up and punched him in the face or whatever, you know, for doing that, I know what I'd have got when I got home from my dad, especially when I got kicked out of school. But, you know, that was just something, that was just a little story I'm telling you. You know, the spanking is okay, but you got to do it the right way. You can't do it out of anger and things like that. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about spanking. We're going to talk about discipline. And that thing's next. That's what's coming up. Questions or comments? And then I'm going to quit. Yeah, I agree with you. I did so many dumb things, you know, when I was bringing up my children. I wished I'd have had some classes or something, you know, somebody would have helped teach me. Because, you know, I disciplined out of anger. You know, I never said I was sorry. I never did these kind of things, you know. And I wished, as you said, I wished I could go back and do it over, but I can't. You know. But I have grandchildren now. And I can, you know, I can do, you know, I can learn by that process, you know, a little different story, yeah. I stay out of it. You know, they get it, they get it. They deserve it, you know. And a lot of times, probably I would have given it to them quicker. That's all. But other than that, you know. Okay, anything else? All right. Lord, we thank you now for this time, for this day. We thank you, Father, for your word and for the different aspects of it. We ask, Lord, that we would learn to be submissive to authority, that we would be able to teach our children that we would be able to set examples for that, Lord, for them. that they can see that in us. And Lord, that we could bring children up that are pleasing to you. Thank you now for this day and for this time. In Jesus' name we pray.